an ever-changing world, Off Hollywood Media presents a voice of truth and inspiration, resonating a vibration of love and understanding, illuminating new paths for new directions, as we, as one, strive for higher and higher levels of consciousness, always remembering life changes. And now, your host, our MC, our master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Ciao, everyone, and welcome to Life Changes. I am so excited to be your host today and being of service as we change our world, change our lives, and be the change that we wish to see out there. And today we have somebody who is doing that through his radio show and through the conferences he has and workshop, etc. And he is none other than BBS radio host James Gilliland. And so I can't wait to bring him on in just a few moments. You know, it's interesting. A friend of mine's mom called me recently, actually just this week. And I had just spoken to my friend a couple hours before, and he said, oh, I'll be seeing my mom at dinner at a restaurant in a little bit, and I'll tell her that you want to talk to her so she can call you. So when she called me, I said, hi, Nancy, how was dinner? And she said, you know, different. And I said, different? In what way? I was really curious as to what could have been so different to spark that kind of a response from her. So she says, you know, it's a bison or buffalo meat place. And I didn't know that, but okay. And I said, all right, so, you know, do you not like that kind of thing? And she says, oh, I don't know. And I said, well, what do you mean you don't know? And she says, well, I didn't have any. I said, you didn't have any of the buffalo meat or bison, whatever it was? And she says, no. I said, what did you have? And she says, oh, I just had chicken. I had a chicken salad. And I said, oh, okay. So then was it gamey or is it just a different flavor? And she said, oh, I don't know. I didn't taste it. Everybody else had it. And everybody else said it was different. Then it's interesting that when I asked her how her experience at the restaurant was, how was dinner, she said it was different. And so I wanted to know what her experience was, as I am interested all the time. And her experience wasn't even, her experience was the same as every other chicken salad, perhaps, that she has in any other restaurant. There was nothing different about her personal experience, but how she painted or even maybe tainted her experience and made it different and not as enjoyable or pleasurable because everybody else said that their meat was different. And I thought, whoa, how often do we do that in our lives where we take everybody else's perception of reality or everybody else's story, or somebody else's story. It doesn't have to be even everybody's. And I was starting to reflect on that, and I thought a couple of years ago, way back, maybe, was it a couple of years, maybe even 3 years ago, I have some friends who are very well off and have a beautiful home in a beautiful part of Los Angeles, and they throw a most amazing holiday party every year. And I remember going to the holiday party and saying how wonderful it was and you know, how happy I was to see them. And they said, oh, we almost didn't do it this year. And I said, why? And they said, oh, because, you know, the economy is bad and it's going to get worse. And I said, well, how does that affect you? And they said, oh, it really doesn't affect us, but it affects a lot of people. And I thought, how interesting that they would not have a holiday party because the economy is bad, so a lot of people are canceling their parties. But it didn't affect them, but they were going to cancel their party also. And I thought, wow, how interesting, because not only, if we believe it, quote-unquote, the economy is bad, but they, who aren't even affected by it, are making the economy worse because they put all kinds of people out of a job that they these people count on every year, from catering to parking the cars, to the security guards that they have, and the decorators and the florists, and I mean the list goes on and on. The people that put up the tent in the backyard, and because they're buying into somebody else's possible reality, they're actually making that reality even more real, when it might not have even been the case. So were we really having a recession, or was our economy really bad, or did just somebody put it out there that, oh, the economy is bad? And then because we're so used to going along with everybody else's experience, we didn't have the meat, but it was different. Our experience was different, even though we just had chicken salad. So here were these friends of mine having chicken salad like any other holiday season, but because everybody else's buffalo meat or bison or whatever wasn't tasting normal to them, and it was a different experience, they went along with the experience. And so I really wonder how often we all get caught up into that. And what I've noticed lately is when I notice how people, quote unquote, are getting caught up in something, I'm getting caught up in something else. And it's a mirror effect. And I'm noticing, hey, wait a minute, this is what they're doing, quote unquote, wrong, let's say, or might not be the most elegant choice. Well, started to say, where is it in my reality, in my life, in my experience, where I'm doing the same thing? Because invariably, I have found an answer, or two, or three. So, I it's interesting that in relation to today's guest, that might be one of the answers where I have found myself doing the same thing, and I'll explain myself here in a moment. But besides that experience of being able to look at it and say, hey, wait a minute, how is this mirroring me instead of me pointing the finger? What's going on here that I need to be looking at? I would like for the message to come through, or the thought to come through, that we can consider having our own experience and relating to our own experience, and just maybe us connecting with that own experience, we can affect everybody else's experience, where the economy doesn't have to be bad and where the different tasting meat doesn't have to be such a big deal. So the person eating chicken could have said, oh, mine's delicious. Here, anybody want mine? And made her experience the overall experience, where somebody else might have said, if I had spoken to her husband, how was dinner? He said, oh, it was great. My meal wasn't so great. But he can adopt his wife's experience, since we seem to be doing that anyway. And in the case of my friends, that because they continue to have their parties, they can affect the quote-unquote bad economy and help make it better by not putting people out of jobs, by having their party. So how do I say in relation to our guest today? Let's see. Okay. This is what I'm getting at. About, oh, I don't know, maybe 3 years ago now, has it been that long, 2.5 or so, I came to know Dorothy Lee, who you all know as a producer for the show, and also a segment producer as well, or a segment host for the State of the Universe address. And right away, she said she recognized me from the ship, okay, and that that we do have all these experiences on a different dimension together, and that she is spoken to and has these kinds of experiences, and information is downloaded to her, and this is what the inside of a ship looks like, and this is this, and this is that. Stuff that I'm into reading this stuff that I've never read anywhere, stuff that at least at the time hadn't been printed, or maybe people hadn't, or I just not in my realm of possibility or reality. So I just kind of took that and said, well, I do know that there are things that I don't know. And so I'm just going to keep listening and experiencing and allowing what that is. And that's what our show here is about. Life changes. My life is changing as I'm having these experiences and we're sharing. So about a year and a half ago now, almost 2 years, I had the good fortune of meeting our guest today, James Gilliland. And it was at the premiere of a movie called Contact Has Begun, his story with James Gilliland. And so because I was going to be able to interview him for our show right after the movie, the person putting on this film festival sat him right next to me on my left. And on my right was Dorothy Lee, the person who has shared all this stuff to me, and I've been skeptical over the years, I must admit. So as I'm watching this movie straight ahead, the two of them start talking to me on either side as interesting things and things that were really relevant to the two of them start to happen on the screen. And mind you, even at this point, James on my left and Dorothy on my right had not met yet. And so as the James on the screen in the movie starts saying things that are unbelievable to some, and it was unbelievable to me, not just because some of it is so far outside of what I'm used to, but because almost word for word and to the detail, Dorothy Lee had described to me so much of what I was seeing on the screen. And I thought, these two people don't know each other. They have not read this in print, at least that I know of, and they both said they hadn't afterwards, of course. Unless James has put it down in his books now. But I thought, whoa. And Dorothy was saying, listen to this. This is the most important part, as if she knew exactly what he was going to say. And interestingly enough, James said to me in my other ear, listen to this. This is the most important part. People have a hard time believing this. And I was in this vortex of energy, this triangle, as I was experiencing both of them and the movie in front of me, and I thought, whoa, if I don't get it now, I never will. And so I couldn't wait to interview him afterwards, and Dorothy was there too, and the two of them just chatted and chatted, and it was just fascinating to hear them go, because it's as if they'd known each other all their lives and had all the same experiences. So Dorothy has been real good about not bringing it up on the show, and part of the reason is because we've been wanting to have James on so that we could share this story, and here he finally is. Now, James, I mentioned earlier, was in a movie. Actually, the movie is about him. It's called Contact Has Begun, his story with James Gilliland. He's author of several books, including Becoming Gods and Becoming Gods 2, and he hosts seminars and conferences at his ranch, at ECETI, or Enlightened Contact with Intelligence, Extraterrestrial Intelligence. And just the list goes on, and not least of which, he is host on BBS Radio of his own show, and that, of course, is called, what is that called? As You Wish. And that's on at 8 p.m. on Saturday nights here on BBS. So with all that, James, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me on the show.
This is so exciting. Do you remember that incident that I was relating to with the audience?
I do, actually.
And did you know it was having such a profound experience on me while it was happening?
No, I just kind of do as I'm guided to do, and I don't know about the effects of it, but people tell me later, you know, that they have profound effects, but I just kind of go with the flow.
Well, you certainly do, and you do as you do, and things change because of you. That's why you're such a perfect guest on our show. and listening to your show too, you address so many of the same issues because you are so much about helping people become better and helping the world become better. And before we go into extraterrestrials, I saw that on your T-shirts for ECETI, you have a motto: "They're here, get over it." So it's just like that. So they're here, get over it. I mean, talk to me about that. So many people are still undecided. What's that about?
Well, you know, basically they've always been here. And in our presentation, we talk about that. We show all the ancient history. It's in all the Vedic scriptures. You know, they talk about the different types of ships, the different types of beings. They call them Vimanas, and they say, you know, some are physical, some are energy ships, and some are magnetized light ships, and some are Merkabas, you know, that are just pure consciousness. So they explain in depth the different types of ships. And if you talk to any indigenous people, most of them point at the Pleiades when they talk about their origins. So over in Hawaii, the Kahunas, you know, they point at the Pleiades and say that's where we came from. And the Lakota point at the Pleiades. The Cherokee say, you know, we came from the Pleiades. So it's just, it's been around forever. And it's, you know, there's 7,000-year-old cave paintings and diodes that are millions of years old they're finding. So, you know, we've been around for a long, long time, and much longer than people think. And in my studies, what I found out in studying a lot of the ancient traditions, and one of the most ancient which we practice here, it's called Kunlun, that was just released out of the Kunlun temples, but in the Kunlun mountains there. But we've traced it all back, and it seems like everything goes back to Egypt. And then you trace the origins of Egypt, and they go back to Atlantis and Lemuria, and those go back to the stars. So the bottom line is that we're all, you know, part of a massive colonization program that went on a long, long time ago. And a lot of these ancient traditions, when you trace them back to their most ancient roots, they do all go back to the stars.
Hmm. You know, as you're sharing this, I'm just wondering, what is the big hang-up? And I thought, okay, well, maybe it's in certain texts it said God made man in his image. Now, who's to say what God exactly is? And could it be saying that God is an extraterrestrial who made man and then brought him and her down?
Yeah, you could say that, and it would be pretty much accurate. But you have to go back to say, well, who created them, you know? And it goes on and on and on. And the creation story goes on and on and on throughout the cosmos. It just didn't happen here on Earth. So if you take the true message in Genesis, it says the Father of all fathers created the gods who created the heavens and the earth. And it's a whole different story. So you have to ask, who were the gods? And who were the sons of God that found the daughters of man to be fair and took them as wives, you know, in the Bible? And, you know, who were the giants, the mighty men of renown? You know, all these things all point back to the stars, and even the Anunnaki and the Nephilim, you know, when you translate them, it means those who came from heaven to earth. So we've had a long, long history of interaction with the stars, the star nations, different groups, and some were very benevolent and very positive, and some weren't so positive. They were more self-serving and manipulative, you might say.
Hmm. So, you know, I have seen footage of indigenous people and have seen them point to the stars literally in their language and pointing that's where we came from, and it's, ancient Mexican cultures as well, and tribes, mm-hmm. and all that. So it seems so natural for them, and yet what's the missing link here between them and us? What are we missing that we can't see it? Are we that brainwashed, or are we that brain dead, or just what is it?
Well, unfortunately, we are kind of that brainwashed because, you know, in the 50s and the 40s and those times, people actually were much more open to the fact and realized that there was a connection. And then it seemed after Roswell, where the first technology was gleaned after Roswell, then there was a major effort to suppress any of this and create the giggle factor and make fun of people. And I mean, and you know, it had severe consequences if you talk too much about UFOs or your experiences, sometimes deadly consequences. So there was a major effort to squash this, and you know, by the powers that be, because you know, basically all they cared about was technology. And you know, in the interest of national security, whoever has the best technology wins the war. And they didn't want people to know that, that we both had back-engineered technology and in the past were interacting with some what I call low-level contacts that, that we had going on. So there was a major effort to, you know, dumb down and make this a you know, kind of cuckoo-ville, you might say, or to put the giggle factor in there and make people crazy, you know, if they've had experiences like this.
Now, you, when did you wake up to all of this? Was it after your near-death experience?
Well, you know, actually as a child, I had quite a few experiences, and I would go into my parents and tell them, you know, that something happened, and they would say, oh, that was just a dream. Or it didn't really happen. And they were encounters and being taken up on the ship. And they're very benevolent. They're very, it wasn't negative at all. And we would see the ships. We were raised in a small desert town in Apple Valley, California. And we used to watch the ships at night. And I found out later that Ralph Ring and Otis Carr were actually built a ship not too far from us and flew it a couple times. Before the FBI came in and shut them down and said that there's no way you can use this technology because it would, you know, it would, it was fuelless energy technology. They said it would cripple, you know, the entire economic system to bring this out. So that was the end of that experience. But we saw things all the time that were not of any earthly origin, and they were stopping on a dime, making right angle turns at several thousand miles an hour and doing zigzag patterns. And, you know, there's no way to explain it. And then, you know, we were also were very close to the Integratron there, and they were having all kinds of encounters there as well. So we were kind of raised in a hotbed of UFO activity, and everybody there just accepted it. You know, they didn't, it wasn't really a question, you know, to most of the people that I was raised around.
Now, James, are you saying that these are UFOs in the sense that they're unidentified flying objects to you, or they're unidentified to even our government?
Well, some of them weren't unidentified. Some of them were identified, and they had meetings with them in the past, and those were some of the low-level contacts, and trades were made with technology for genetics and things like that. But that kind of went bad, and now they're realizing it's probably a better idea to start working with the more benevolent ones, which is what we're phasing into right now. So, you know, with all the black projects and the hidden technologies and the things that really could serve humanity and the Earth right now, It's there's people on the inside that are starting to leak all this out and let people know that, you know, it's time to bring these technologies out and restore the Earth, you know, back to its pristine beauty and, you know, and stop, you know, polluting the air and the water and raping the land, basically.
Wow. Actually, that's exciting. And and that time is now.
Definitely. It's time for this to come out. And I know in the next 2 years you're going to see it coming out like crazy everywhere. And I know people are actually building these technologies in their garages, you know, all around the world right now. And I've actually held some technologies in my hand, you know, that are as big as a pie plate. And they have 9 coils in it, and they put out 25,000 watts on each coil. but and they're feeless. So, there's no wires going into them, you know. So
you're talking free energy machines.
Yeah, and anti-gravity and counter-gravity as well. So we have all that technology here right now on the planet. It's just a matter of getting the leadership behind it and, you know, stopping the suppression of it, basically.
And you're saying that this technology is coming from extraterrestrials?
You know, from what I've seen, it always is tied into that, where people had an encounter, they had an experience, or they worked in some of the black projects and they want to do the right thing now and come forward. There's many avenues where it's coming forward, and, you know, just like a local kid here, I created a new solar technology, a nanotechnology, and it's something like 500% more efficient than the other solar technology. So these kids are getting downloaded with all this energy and consciousness and new ideas, and it seems to be coming out globally all over the world. People are just getting it, you know, through the one mind, you might say, or through other aspects of the one mind that are delivering it to them.
You know, I have to admit, I've had these thoughts. I remember being in high school, which wasn't that long ago, relatively, that I was taking an electronics class where we were actually welding, or not welding, but soldering capacitors and resistors and diodes and all that to a motherboard that had copper tracks on it, and that was just to make, I don't know, some lights light up or something, and it was just this big thing to make this little thing happen. And now, what seems like a few short years later, I hold an iPhone, and I'm able to do some amazing things, and it's in this such a small package. It seems like magic, and I think there's something else going on. I don't think somebody just found a way to shrink all those capacitors and diodes and components all together and make it small enough to work in this small package. There's something else going on.
Oh, definitely. They gleaned, you know, the computer chip, microwave technology, I'm trying to think, there's several other technologies, the fiber optics, all of that stuff. They gleaned that from UFO crash sites in Roswell, and it went to Bell Labs and several other ones where it was disseminated from there.
Well, you know, it's interesting that the other, I take it now another step further. I think, well, let's see, if plastic and metal could do this, certainly my body's got all the components, except for maybe the plastic, I don't know, but all the components and minerals that this thing has. So I should be able to do everything that this does and more, which takes us to a whole new level of communication, right?
Yeah, basically there is a saying that technology is a failure of consciousness, you know, you know, we should be able to do things telepathically. You know, we should be able to bilocate, move objects. All of these things are natural once we awaken to, you know, the power within or our true self. And we've been having events like that happen here at the ranch, just amazing things where people are disappearing. You know, they're there 1 minute, gone the next. We have, you know, photographic evidence with, you know, 100 eyewitnesses at the time when these events happened. And, you know, we've been, you know, they're doing like some of the Kundalini practices. When I'm transferring the energy to somebody, there's a massive light above my head that can be photographed, a brilliant golden white light, and two balls of light coming out of my hands and things like that. And I'm not trying to brag, but it's evidence that this is real and that these spiritual technologies do exist. And, you know, we don't need the other technologies once we master our consciousness and master our physical experience here.
So, James, is that part of what you call interdimensional mind?
It is. We teach a lot of it in self-mastery classes, and I'm just blown away at what a lot of the people that come here and take these classes, what they're experiencing and what they're creating, you know, from the information in these classes. And, you know, they're connecting straight up with these interdimensional beings and having their own experience with them. And sometimes that does mean incredible energies moving through them and, you know, basically them disappearing and reappearing and just all kinds of really interesting phenomenon are happening here.
Well, and when you're saying here, just to clarify for the audience, you're talking about Trout Lake at the base of Mount Adams, right, in Washington State?
Yes, at the Eat City Ranch here. We just finished two self-mastery classes, one and two, and then we did the ambassador training class. And what was so powerful, because what happened is each group came in, you know, different groups came in. We had beings from the Pleiades come in, people from the Orion Council of Light, the Andromedans. And it sounds really outrageous, but each time a different group came in, you could feel the energies, and they're very unique. Each energy was different. And when you have, you know, 60 people sitting there feeling this energy and all having the, you know, similar experiences with this energy, it's definitely, you know, the real thing. It's happening, and huge transformations are coming out of this.
Now, you've built this ranch up, and you have a conference center facility, and people come with their motorhomes and tents and all that when the weather it allows, and they hang out and they come to your conferences and classes and they actually have these experiences that you're sharing, but they actually get to see shifts, like you have them on call or something, right? Around the mountain.
yeah, it's kind of interesting. A lot of people go, they want me to command a ship, you know, or invoke a ship to come in. And I told them, you don't do that. You invite them. That's a very arrogant way of looking at things, to command something. So I don't have control over when they show up or when they don't show up, but they do give me a heads up or a lot of times on when they're going to be there. And they'll come in and we'll have the cameras rolling right on cue. And we've had ABC out here. Fox News was just out here and aired it on Hannity. And so it was a mind blower. But, we've had the major networks out here with their cameras, and the ships did come, you know, right on cue. And Paranormal State was just here as well. And we told them exactly when the ships would appear and where, and they had their cameras rolling, and the ships did come in and power up and really lit up the sky and pulsed the people in the field, and then did a nice turn and went back down behind the trees around the mountain. So that's all on the website, and or you can go to the A&E Paranormal State and check out the East SETI Ranch episode.
Yeah, I saw some of those clips today. It's East SETI, by the way, E-C like Charlie, E, again, T like Tom, I.org, and there's a page with so many UFO clippings or clips that's actually quite amazing. And there are photos, and you can learn all about what's going on up there at the ranch and learn about James. And how did they let you know? Do you have a futuristic iPhone that rings, and you answer it and they tell you?
Yeah, it's called my brain, basically. You know, I tell people that, you know, we have an interdimensional mind, and we also have the most powerful radar on the planet is our own human consciousness. And we feel them before they come in, and I'll tell people they're here, and then I'll feel the energy coming in, and I'll turn around and I'll look right where they're coming from automatically. And, you know, I'll tell them they're coming from the west, and sure enough, right after you say that, a ship will power up from the west and fly over us. And, you know, I've done it redundantly to the point where I'm just basically bored with it. You know, it's like people either get it or they don't, you know. But, you know, it's really important for people to come out and have their own experience here, not listen to what anybody else is saying, but really come out, have your own experience, feel the energy, you know, partake in, you know, the awakening healing classes, and then, you know, walk away with your own experience, and then it's real for you, and nobody can talk you out of it.
You know, James, I've often thought, and I've heard also many people say, oh, why didn't you take a picture of it? Or why didn't you run inside the house and get your camera? Or why are you just telling us? We would believe you if you took a picture. I have to say that about a month ago, if not maybe a little longer, I was with a friend of mine who ironically had borrowed a camera from another friend of mine, and that it was a big professional camera, and that friend gave it to me, and then I gave it to this other friend, and we were both, he had it strapped to his shoulder, and we were both talking and just looking in the sky, just, you know, as we were saying goodbye, and he said, whoa, what's that? And we looked at it, and at first it looked like one of those Mylar balloons, but it just was moving way too rapidly to be a balloon, and the course that it was taking was, and then it goes behind this tree, like it was far from the tree, but we couldn't see it, and then it just disappeared. And we both looked at each other, and for a split second said, I wish we had a camera.
And you had the camera right on you?
It was right strapped to his, yeah, to his shoulder. But the thing is, yeah, you don't think.
That's so a total common, that's a common thing that happens here is that, you know, the last conference, luckily I had Renato Langato here, and he's a UFO investigator from South America, and he's from Peru, and he knows all the Latin American, people. But, he was here, and I handed him my camera, and I said, here, you know how to work it? And he said, yeah, I know how to work it. And I said, okay, anything comes over, film it. And sure enough, four ships came in, one after the other. And he got all of them on film. It's on YouTube and it's on the site. But at the same time, Lisa Renee, I don't know if you know who she is. She's down in your area. Was in the field, and we have her on tape, as well as some very, very well-known, powerful speakers. You know, were all in the field, and you know, we had Michal Ledwith here. He was an advisor to the Pope. Brooks Agnew. I can go on and list all these people, but we've had just some major people with PhDs of impeccable integrity that are coming here on a regular basis and in the field when these ships come over, and you can see them in the background, you know, walking around, you know, as they're filming the ships, and they drop the camera and film the people out in the field. So, you know, this has been going on for years here, and I'm blown away when I just keep hearing, or when are they going to land, or when's first contact going to happen, and everything else. And, you know, it's been going on here for, oh my God, like 13 years, you know, we've been doing this. And,
James, why there?
Well, what's interesting here is, one, we actually, did some major work, in consciousness, you know, and doing deep meditation work here, process-oriented work. We've held a lot of ceremony here. We've had a lot of elders come here and do sweat lodges and ceremony, and we've had lamas here and yogis. So the energy here on the land, it's already a vortex, a very high-energy place. And we've kept up the energy and worked with the energy and risen to the occasion, you might say. So I think that's one reason why. And they're also based in the mountain that we're at, the base of Mount Adams, which has a real long history of UFO activity, going back to the Native Americans, you know, their lore, and they see them all the time up there. And we have the tribal police and some of the other gate guards and other elders have come on record, you know, and talked about their experiences. And Kenneth Arnold actually coined the word flying saucers, lost sight of the ships when they descended on the western slopes of Mount Adams. And we've had Dr. Jalen Hynek, David Akers, Greg Long, all these people up here have done major investigations of the UFO activity here. So there's just a long, long history of activity here. And I don't know why people are waiting for somebody else to tell them it's happened, because it's been happening, and it's still ongoing, which is the amazing part.
So besides letting you know that they're going to show up at 8 o'clock tomorrow night kind of thing, what are they telling you? What are a couple of things that they really want you to get or you to share?
You know, I asked them that. I said, what is the most important thing that that you would want me to convey, you know, to the rest of the earth. And basically, the main thing they said was, we need to release the past. And so I asked them if they could go further into that, and they said, your past is creating your tomorrow. And you're holding on to all these old wounds and grudges and, you know, wrong conclusions from past experiences, and those are all creating your tomorrow. And so it's very important, you know, that they said we need to, you know, release the past and start living according to universal principles that are necessary for a healthy society and environment. And we all know those in our heart of hearts, you know, it's basically brother, sister, love, you know, honor the creator and all creation, you know, the, you know, equality, prosperity for all of that, you know, we know that it's in our heart of hearts, but we keep straying away from it into the separation game and, you know, greed and ego and againstness. And that's their main message, is they want us to get back on track.
And ironically, that's the foundation, quote unquote, of every known religion, I think, that everything that you just said. So not that it's followed, but that's the premise, mm-hmm. I think. So all right. So they're not saying anything new. But is the feeling that we can't go on like this another 2,000 years?
Basically, it's about we can't go on like this another 2 years, is what they're saying.
Okay.
You know, but they're saying that there are major changes, you know, in the wind. There's you know, and that we have to buck up and flow with these changes and start paying attention to what's happening around us, because, you know, we're moving to a new place in the universe that's highly charged, you know, with energy, and it's creating effects. All of our planets are going through atmospheric changes. They're producing a lot more light, and you know, the light coming off the planets is four times, you know, greater than it used to be. So this is a universal thing, and the whole universe is moving, you know, through this space and time, and it's going to be quite a ride here, you know, coming up in the future, is what they've been talking about.
Okay, so it's going to be quite a ride. So I'm sitting on my couch watching television, and you know, I catch wind of Filippo and James Gilliland on Life Changes. Somebody talks about it in the office tomorrow or in the work site. And so what? Okay, they're here. We get it. Love each other. Things are changing. Yeah. What am I supposed to do? Do I have to get up from my couch? Do I have to do anything specifically? Because loving each other already.
Yeah. I'd say the first thing to do is get up and throw your TV set out the window, you know. But, you know, put your beer away and put your pot away and put everything else away and start really tapping into your own spirit within and listening to the earth and, you know, asking what's going on, because it's going to be imperative that people establish their own connection with creator, whatever you want to call it, and start listening to the advice and acting on that advice, because if you're unconscious and not paying attention, you know, it may have severe consequences in the future.
And so by paying attention, you don't necessarily meaning listening to your show and my show. You're meaning what's you're feeling inside?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and also, too, there are a lot of avenues like your show and other shows that are out there that are kind of telling people what's up, and they're not giving the same message that the mainstream is giving us. And it's time to start maybe seeking out a lot of alternative media. And you know, that are covering, you know, maybe even check out news from other countries, because they give a better picture of what's really going on here in the States than our own newscasters, you might say. So it's just a matter of paying attention to what's really going on. You know, get out of the herd consciousness, you know, social consciousness, and start tapping in and you know, start acting on those messages. If you're getting messages that, you know, you need to change your lifestyle, change your diet, change your practices, You need to get more in touch with spirit. People are getting all kinds of messages right now. Some are getting messages that it might be time to move, you know, to another location. And, you know, you have to listen to that and pay attention to that, because that's what's going to get you through.
Mm. So in closing here, what I'm sure on some people's minds, they're thinking, okay, well, are there any bad extraterrestrial out there that we need to worry about?
Well, if you're not connected with the good ones, you can have a low-level contact.
Well, I feel better.
Yeah. But, you
right
know,
now, I'm not connected to any of them. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of protection out there. And if you align yourself with the benevolent ones and, you know, even a lot of the masters that we already know of, when you align yourself with those energies and call that forward in your life, these other energies just fall away. So you know, if you are having any kind of negative experiences, either from the astral level or from a low-level ET or something, there are techniques you can use to put an end to that and actually heal that experience and stand in your own self-authority. And those are the things that we teach here, to empower people to take more command over their lives and their experiences.
So in the end, it's not really about them coming here and necessarily changing our experiences. It's about them reminding us to have the experience that we came here to have?
Pretty much. I mean, they're here to remind us of our true nature, our divine nature, and that everything's connected, you know, in the one field, whatever you want to call it, you know, the unified field, and that we have to start behaving accordingly, you know, and start being a blessing to life and, you know, clean up our consciousness, clean up our environment, and that's basically their message, is that they want us to evolve to our highest potential and, you know, clean up our environment and move in that direction versus taking the downward spiral, which has a reaction to it.
So as far as you know, they're not planning on moving into the neighborhood and setting up their own schools here and having and coexisting with us necessarily that way.
Well, you know, I don't know if I was extremely advanced beings and had my own ship and everything else. I don't know if I would want to come here, because everybody would either worship me or shoot at me or look at me sideways all the time and everything else. I think we need to rise to the occasion and evolve before we can, you know, be walking side by side with these beings. And that, you know, that is their message. You know, we can't even get along with the races here on the planet and the differences in belief. You know, how are we going to do when some being shows up and it may be a feline, you know, a humanoid feline, or it might be look totally different. You know, they may be blue-colored or green-colored or look entirely different than we do. So, you know, we think about that. If we can't even get along with our own races here and, you know, the planet, you know, what are we going to do when these other beings come that are completely different than we are? And, you know, some of them aren't. Some of them are just like us. They're just highly evolved, and they didn't have to start over as primitives due to a lot of the natural cataclysms that happen on Earth on a regular cycle.
Well, James, I'd like to think that we can get along, and we must get along, and we will. And so these are great messages that you have helped put forth here, not only in our show, but in yours. And so I want to remind everybody that you're the host of your own show called As You Wish, right here on the BBS Radio Network, and that's from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Saturdays. And that host is none other than James Gilliland. James, thank you so much for agreeing to be our guest tonight. We know how busy you are. And everybody is invited up to the ranch, but only after the snow that you're expecting clears, right?
Yeah, we're kind of gearing down right now, because we are getting ready for some major snow. And it gets pretty ugly up here in the winter. We get about 10 feet of snow. So if you don't have a major four-wheel drive or something else, it might not be too easy to be getting in and out.
Well, I have friends. You have so many fans out here, and so many of them are my friends besides me. And They all want to come out there, so you might see us knocking on your door one of these days, and I'll look forward to seeing you again.
Great. Love to have you.
All right, James, thank you again, and have a great evening.
All right, good night.
Okay, good night. Wow. You know, it's so interesting that I'm about to, as I'm saying goodbye to James on one end, I'm about to introduce Dorothy Lee on the other. So it's reminiscent of the story that I told at the beginning of the show. And so here's Dorothy Lee.
Hi. First, I want to thank our guest, James, for confirming what I know to be true. Thank you. Thank you for the work you're doing, and I would like to thank all of the ETs that I know and the ones I don't know that are here on Earth. Just hanging in there, helping us remember who we are so that we can make an incredible shift in consciousness. And now I want to share with our listeners more about the Children of the Sun and their work. Here's what they have to say about the unified field of higher consciousness. It is a scientifically proven, intelligent field of energy that permeates and connects everything in the world and universe. We ourselves are part of this vast dynamic matrix of energy, exchange, and manifestation. The unified field is the single most catalytic force in propelling the planetary consciousness shift. This advanced matrix is the number one focus and foundational alignment for Children of the Sun to achieve its mission in transforming consciousness for collective humanity. The planetary crystalline grid is a new and continually activating energetic structure and part of the unified field. It is an integral component of the new Earth crystalline template. Children of the Sun and its bi-monthly transmissions of collective intention on the planetary crystalline grid is helping to increase awareness and direct experience of the unified field and how that can be applied to empower our lives and transform the world. Collective unified intention through meditative focus in the unified field is the most potent transformation tool that is being encouraged by all of the Children of the Sun program participants. It is through the extraordinary power of collective intention that Children of the Sun is directing its group influence to help transform world consciousness and awaken the masses. Scientists and quantum physicists have produced a plethora of quantifiable research that offers sound evidence that the unified field exists and that our thoughts and emotions are capable of profoundly affecting all aspects of our lives and our world. It is also through proven research that the quantity of collectively focused, meditative people needed to affect major change for a given population is the square root of 1%. This means that only 8,000 of us engaged in collective meditation are needed to affect transformation on a global scale. Can you now begin to understand the impact we can have with the planetary grid transmissions? We have already surpassed the 8,000 mark. So, dear listeners, if you'd like to be a part of the conscious co-creation of planetary ascension, please go to our website, www.lifechanges.ws, and go to our link page and click onto the Children of the Sun. You will also find links for Greg Braden, Lynn McTaggart, and John Hagelin, who have the following to say about the unified field. Greg Braden, scientist, visionary, and scholar. Ultimately, we may discover that our ability to understand the rules of the divine matrix, in other words, the unified field, holds the key to our deepest healing, our greatest joy, and our survival as a species. Through the connection that lives inside of you me and every human that walks the earth, we have a direct line to the same force that creates everything from atoms and stars to the DNA of life. Lynn McTaggart, researcher, author, spokesperson. The field is like finding the force in Star Wars, the zero-point field, in other words, unified field, connects everything in the universe, and we ourselves are part of this vast, dynamic cobweb of energy exchange. The field also reveals a radical new biological paradigm that on our most fundamental level, the human mind and body are not distinct and separate from their environment, but a packet of pulsating energy constantly interacting with this vast energy sea, the unified field. And last, John Hegelin, PhD, quantum physicist, public policy expert. I think the quickest thing we can do at this point is to create a powerful meditative influence for peace and global unity by assembling groups all across the country and throughout the world to meditate collectively. Research shows that group meditation has a powerful societal impact in increasing unity and harmony and in reducing social stress. So gather together with your family and your friends and join the children of the sun. Until next week, please choose to love yourself enough to make very conscious and elegant choices. And please know that you are loved, you are lovable, and you are loved.
Thank you, Dorothy Lee, for the State of the Universe address. And that's our show. Again, our guest was James Gilliland, and one of the reasons why the show went by so quickly, because we always have so much fun when we get to chat, him and I. Next week, we're also going to have a great guest, Kelly Gallagher, who is a producer of a film called Mercury in Retrograde, The Mercury Chronicles, about the mercury in our food, fish, for example, and its effects on our bodies and our lives. It's has been doing very well on the circuit, so we're happy to have Kelly with us on the show next week. And to learn more about James or Kelly or any of our other guests and to hear any of those shows, you could also go to our website and hear the archives, and all the information is there for all the shows that that we have. Remember, you can also keep the conversation going during the week through Facebook and our website and Twitter and all those exciting social media software programs that are coming out. And let me just again thank our sponsors today, Ion Ways Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Lee. So to learn about them as well, visit them on our sponsor page and on our website and click on their links. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and it is my pleasure being of service by hosting Life Changes today. I, along with Dorothy Lee, Mark Leger, and our engineer Seth, thank you for joining us in being part of the show and being part of the change we all wish to see in the world. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes. Join us here every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And visit us on the web at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. And follow our community on Facebook at Life Changes with Filippo. Join us here next week as we consciously embrace and explore the only constant, life changes.